To imagine it, but the date is Thursday, November the 8th, 2012, and you are listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. As always, if you want to call in tonight, we have open lines. We want to let you call in, talk about anything you want, And sometimes we have topics. And the call numbers, as always, across the country, 858-683-1326. Or in the Louisville area, 502-805-0334. And I thought it was appropriate that we would open up with Endgame by Megadeth. And some people don't like that kind of music, and that's okay. It's my kind of prerogative to play that. And the lyrics of that song, I think, really apply to what we're going through right now, especially in light of this week's elections. Had a hiccup there. I thought it was going to sound like Diane Sawyer there for a moment. I wanted to sound like she did on the night show, that she was a drunker and a skunk. And so I thought it was opening very appropriately with our music here by Megadeth, where it says, "Attention, attention, all citizens are ordered to report to their district. Detention centers, do not return to your homes. Do not contact anyone. Do not use cellular or GPS devices. Surrender all weapons at once. Attention, this way to the camps." And the song continues, "I woke up in a black FEMA box. Darkness was all around me in my coffin. My dreams are all nightmares anymore now. And this is what I dream every night. The leader of the New World Order, the President of the United States, has declared anyone now residing inside the U.S. of A. without the RFID chip, you're just an illegal alien, an enemy combatant of America. Welcome to the New World Order. This is the end of the road." I can think of a better song that goes with our elections this week. And that doesn't mean that I wanted Willard Mitt Romney to win the election. It just means, as I told Ed Springsteen, I would have been happy to do a little golf clap if Obama had been defeated. I would have been very happy to see him fired. It doesn't mean that I would have liked the guy that they hired as his replacement, but the fewer terms in office for any politician, the better. We didn't get our wish. We have 4 more years, barring anything like an impeachment hearing, and I don't really want President Biden, so we have at least 4 more years if they don't cancel the next elections altogether. So moving right along, we'll get into a little bit of election wrap-up, and we'll put this big, nasty election behind us. I think one of the best things I read this week were the words of the exiting Congressman Dr. Ron Paul. You see, Ron Paul is a hero of mine, and he's leaving Congress now. He's going back for the lame duck session right now, and then he's done. He's done in Congress. Thankfully, we're going to send a few people who are going to take a little bit of that shining light of liberty from him and carry it on. People like Thomas Massey here in Kentucky. Very happy to see Thomas Massey, whose district includes a small slither of Eastern Jefferson County. He is right from the cloth of Dr. Ron Paul, so I'm glad to see him take a little bit of that liberty lamp back into D.C. But here's what Dr. Ron Paul said this week about the elections. He said, "We've gone so far, we're over the cliff." That's what the Texas Republican told Bloomberg Television this week on the In the Loop program. Dr. Ron Paul says, "We cannot get enough people in Congress in the next 5 to 10 years who will do wise things." And I think that's definitely true. And he says, "The people in the Midwest voted against Romney because they said, oh, we have to be taken care of." So that vote was sort of like what we all laughed at in Greece. Dr. Paul made a very good point. We laugh at what happens in Greece, and we did the same damn thing. We, the collective, I sure the hell didn't, but a lot of the collective voted for the president because they didn't like the fact that Romney, his supposed only competition, never mind the fact there were several other Republican-Democrat alternatives, but Romney said the bailouts were bad, and I would agree with Romney. That's one of the few things I would agree with him on. And the people didn't like it because he opposed the government bailouts of GM and Chrysler. And Dr. Ron Paul said, "People do not want anything cut. They want all the bailouts to come. And they don't believe that they've gone off the cliff or even close to going off the cliff. They think we can patch it over or that we can somehow come up with some magic solution." And Dr. Ron Paul goes on to say, "You can't have a budgetary solution if you don't change what the role of government should be. As long as you think you have to police the world and run a welfare state, all we are going to do is argue about who will get the loot. I think that was very well said by Dr. Paul, because exactly what we did with the big fake fight, the pro wrestling-like arrangement between Mitt Romney and Barack Hussein Obama. And again, the gun manufacturers, I don't know if they like or dislike Obama being reelected, because gun sales are going to go through the roof. I can tell you that there was an ABC news station that visited a gun show or gun store, excuse me. Don't say gun show. You'll really make the liberals go into fits. But an ABC news station visited a gun store in Indiana yesterday. They said it was a very busy post-election day, Midwest Gun Exchange. Business is booming due to fears that Obama will use his lame duck term to ban all types of weapons, all types of what they like to call assault weapons. Well, throughout the industry, other dealers are talking about having sales increase because of people mindful and kind of wondering what will happen, if it's going to happen. They're fearful that these things are going to get banned, so they're coming into these stores and they're taking a look to see what their options are and see what's available. And going by Twitter comments, not exactly what I would gauge it by, but going by Twitter comments, gun stores were also busy after the election success of Obama. I guess they should have been, because just hours after Obama had secured his victory, his administration threw its support behind a renewed effort to push the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty. It was less than 12 hours after the elections were decided. Hell, they're still trying to figure out what's going on in Florida. You heard that one before, but that's the same story this year, except Florida doesn't matter now. And within 12 hours of the election being called on Tuesday night, the following morning on Wednesday, we get the word that the United States is supporting this resolution, the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty. We have to be more vigilant in our efforts to stop such a proposed treaty. But in addition to that, California Senator and big gun grabber Dianne Franken-Feinstein, she had preempted Obama's reelection by preparing her own new assault weapons ban, which would even ban pistol grips and high-capacity magazines, eliminating any grandfathering and ban sales of weapons in possession. That came off the shooting wire about what Dianne Feinstein wanted to do in lieu of the election results. You see, President Obama had indicated during the presidential debates that he would pursue an assault weapons ban. But it didn't really get the headlines in the ABC, BS, NBC, NBC. It didn't get the headlines in Fox News or Clear Channel. It didn't get the headlines because Willard Mitt Romney is also a gun grabber. So it was not a big deal. We knew that there were going to be more guns taken away, no matter who won. And Obama had said that he would attempt to eviscerate the right to keep and bear arms during a White House meeting with Sarah Brady last year. He said that he was going to work under the radar on new gun control policy. Well, it's under the radar because nobody wants to report it. And this conversation took place months before the Fast and Furious scandal that you only saw on a few hand-picked select television stations. With the Obama administration already making a move to curtail gun rights, I would expect this year's gun sales right before Christmas to break all records once again, as we had to face more restrictions. Remember, Obama said we were all clinging to our guns. I mean, America is pretty much dead with this situation. People went out and voted for Santa Claus, and I know that I'm borrowing from the big neocon himself, Rush Limbaugh, when he said that on the day after the elections, and folks, I usually don't listen to his show, but he acted like it was the end of the world, and we can transition into maybe it's more liberty-oriented now, maybe about how the Republican Party needs to reach out to more liberty folks. But in lieu of that, we will go straight to the phones, and I believe this is our good friend in Louisville. Is this Mr. Andy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How are you doing tonight, Brother Andy?
Well, man, I'm It ain't no use to clinging to the dream, but they haven't came to get me to send me off to the re-education camp yet.
They haven't come for you to put you in the FEMA camps and the coffin yet? That's good.
Nah, I'm and it's weird. I'm down here working on the federal courthouse, and when I heard the results, I just screamed. It was almost a Shawshank Redemption moment. It was raining. I didn't fall on my knees and scream, but I just was like, no.
Well, Andy, we had your friend last night when I was co-hosting with Ed. We had your friend Michonne called in, and Michonne was kind of in agreement with me, which is we didn't want either of these guys to win. And I didn't really get from Michonne's comments if he didn't vote in the presidential race or if he went Libertarian for Gary Johnson. But there's a lot of people who didn't vote in this race.
He voted a third party candidate, but you know what?
Okay.
I got to give Obama credit for this. He ran a hell of a 2-minute offense.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
I mean, they came in here and they caused enough dissension among the major groups that all these fringe groups saved the whales, saved the owls, saved the chipmunks. I want to be able to marry a plant and leave my life savings to it.
Yeah.
Whatever your particular fetish was, he drummed up enough of that. Obama sees me. It's almost like a damn Avatar moment, and that's what he won on.
He had the masses hypnotized and or some sort of brainwashed because the vote was astronomical in many, many. I'll get in trouble if I say it. Urban areas, Andy, and. And I'm reading a story from up in Philadelphia. I think you know the makeup demographically of Philadelphia.
Sure.
And this is a city in Philadelphia, PA, where Obama received more than 85% of the vote. In some precincts, he received every vote. And they swung heavily for Obama over John McCain 4 years ago. But the difficult economy, you'd think that it would be destined to dampen that enthusiasm. But it didn't. You had to point out to the people what was at stake, and they just felt like the Romney doctrine did not favor the working man.
Well, Dale, you and I talk about this all the time. My hope, I had already written off my people. My people are zombies. They're Democratic zombies, and they weren't gonna. They're trying to say that 12% of the vote didn't vote for Obama. Okay. But you still had 80% that was still zombified.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out what happened to Joe and Josephine White America.
Oh, they stayed home.
Middle America going to war. I'm trying to figure out what happened to them.
Well, Andy, you said if your people all went for Obama, my people all stayed home. The liberty-oriented people stayed home, and trust me, I was pissed off about that, because especially in Kentucky, if we had gotten another 1% of them to vote for Gary Johnson, then the Libertarian Party would have been on equal footing with the Republicans and Democrats in Kentucky. What that would have meant, and I don't mean that people out there have to be for the Libertarian Party, but it's a damn option. It's something other than everybody telling you got to drink Pepsi or Coke or you got to go to McDonald's or Burger King. It's a different option. And if they had gotten 2% for the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson, they would have been able to get on the ballot in every race for the next 4 years. But he only got 1% because a lot of my people stayed home.
The closest place, man.
Luke, Andy?
Hold on, Dale. My boss is asking me something. Put me on mute.
All right, I'll do that. We'll put Andy on mute by his own choosing, and we'll go to another caller who I think I recognize here in Louisville. Caller, who are you?
Hi, this is Paul Holliger.
I thought it was Paul Holliger from Stop It. How are you doing tonight, Paul? Is the FEMA camps coming to get your coffin fitted yet?
Nope, but I'm keeping my Gary Johnson signs out in the yard to encourage him to take it up again in 4 years. National News says that he is tired. He doesn't know if he's going to do it again in 4 years.
Hmm.
And he also means he doesn't know if he's going to be a Libertarian candidate in 4 years either.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I read a little bit about that, and I don't know what to make of it, because the neocons are already throwing their lots towards people like Marco Rubio, godforsaken. But, you know, I got a story here in my stack about our good friend Doug Weed, who's already sounding the trumpet for Rand Paul in 2016. And, you know, it's way too early for me to look at presidential races, but look what we just went through. That's when I thought Endgame by Megadeth was an appropriate opening.
I think, I'm not sure that Rand is going to be viable in 2016. He's going to have something remarkably good happen as a result of his efforts.
Yeah.
He's doing a good job in Kentucky as a state senator, as a senator, but
right.
Can he make it on the national scene?
Well, the problem is him getting anything done in the U.S. Senate, so I don't know what he can do to get recognized for his efforts. I mean, he gets on television as much as possible. I'll give him credit for that, getting the message out there. And you got some people who think he did the wrong thing by endorsing Romney, but maybe that was a card well played, because, as Doug Weed says, now the door is wide open for real change in 2016, but God help us if we're going to even have a constitution left by then. I don't like to be one of those people who say those kind of things, because I heard them all tell me, and Bill Clinton, if he got elected back in 96, that the world would end, and then I heard them tell me last week that if Obama got reelected, the world would end. Well, I don't base my life value on who is sitting in the dunce chair up there on Pennsylvania Avenue. I think we got a lot of potential liberty-oriented folks in all these other races.
Well, the liberty movement is going to have to increase its influence. Again, starting at the grassroots level, the liberty movement's got to get local offices won. You're not going to get state offices until you get a lot of local offices. And then when you start getting state offices, now you can start looking at national offices. This is a building project. If the country can survive, it will take a while for this stuff to happen.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
I hate to say it, but that's just the nature of human beings, you know?
Well, that's why I was just reading what Dr. Ron Paul had said, which was he just can't see us getting many people elected out there in the next 5 to 10 years. And I would tend to agree with him. I was very happy to see our friend Thomas Massie. It's not a big surprise, the guy he was going against and all, but it was a kind of a clown by comparison. But I was very glad to see Thomas Massie get up there. But the problem is we need about 200 more Thomas Massies. And we didn't elect that many Thomas Massies. Go ahead.
Well, this go around, according to most of the national news reports, something like 13 million fewer people voted in this presidential election.
Yeah, and Obama got fewer votes than he got 4 years ago, and Romney got fewer votes than McCain got 4 years ago. Of course, Romney got his ass beaten by McCain 4 years ago, which led the Republican Party logic to say, hey, this guy got his ass kicked by the nominee 4 years ago. Maybe it's his turn.
I heard an interesting analysis today regarding the Republican Party nationally. Seems that their gurus are already saying that they need to moderate their positions on a lot of hot-button issues, such as illegal immigration. And this radio show host, who's well-known nationally, says that it was a turnout issue, not a moderation or failure to moderate on certain hot-button issues.
Yep.
And I will agree. I think that the Romney candidacy did, in fact, suppress Republicans from turning out.
And we warned them about
this. Excited.
We warned the establishment about this.
They were warned.
Yeah, they were warned, but they wouldn't listen to any warnings, because look how well John McCain worked out for them in 2008. Look how good that turned out for them in comparison. So we warned them. They didn't want any liberty people's involvement. They wanted your vote and your money, but otherwise they just wanted you to shut up and be happy. And we try to tell them from the local level on up, this is not going to work for you. And why would people go out and choose Romney if there's a guy there who already believes the same way? When they start talking about moderating a message, that's a media spin thing there, because Romney didn't have this big right-wing message that the mainstream media wants you to think he did. He was not far off from Obama on much of anything. One can make the argument, if you go back to the aforementioned Bill Clinton, he had more conservative policies than Mitt Romney.
Well, I think the national, I think the whole Republican Party, they are so lost right
sure
now.
Sure they are.
There are some, you know, some spotlights in different sections of the country, but nationally, the National Republican Party, I'll tell you, Dale, I can see them going the way of the Whigs in just a few more years. They're
making
so many bad decisions.
If you go back 20 years, Paul, it seemed like the Democrats were heading that way. So we have these things that are cyclical, but I can remember 20 years ago having discussions with people, maybe not even 20 years, maybe 12 or 14 years ago, about how wonderful it would be if the Democrats went the way of the dodo bird and the Libertarian Party was the one to raise up. I mean, I was just talking to Andy about the fact I was so pissed off that Gary Johnson couldn't get above 1% in Kentucky. Think what a difference it would have made for those Liberty candidates if they all could get on the ballot without collecting a ton of signatures. Ken Mulman, who does our Sunday night show, by the way, and I have had several conversations about this. You can't even get a list of signatures to go for two candidates. That's not even, quote-unquote, legal. So you have to go out and collect signatures for every damn Libertarian candidate that wants to get on the ballot.
Well, that's one of the projects, as you know personally, but I'm not sure all your listeners know. That's a project that there's some of us at the Independent Kentucky Organization have undertaken. We need to reform election laws and ballot access laws tremendously, and we need to make the playing field a whole lot more level than what it is today. The
two
parties are the ones.
Go ahead. Sorry, Paul.
No, there's probably three ways. Go ahead. Tell me your two ways. Your two ways to work it out.
Yeah, I was going to say the two ways. Well, number one, you somehow get the Democrats and Republicans to agree with you that they should let go of their gang-controlled uniparty and let other people in and let them convince themselves, because they won't listen to the voters, that they need to change their laws. Or number two, getting these minor parties the 2% to get on the ballot. What's the third way, Paul?
Third one is to employ a tactic that was actually used some 7 to 9 years ago down in Nashville, Tennessee, by a group of angry citizens who were listening or who were being informed by a local radio talk show host down there that the state legislature was on the verge of passing a sales tax, statewide sales tax. And he rallied enough people to go down to the state legislature, and they made a tremendous amount of noise while the legislature was in session and while they were about to consider this state sales tax bill, that the members in chamber, according to all reports, grew, and I'm quoting the report, grew fearful that the noise that they heard outside was a mob that was about to burst into the chambers.
Yeah.
And I think that the fear factor played a huge role in the Tennessee state legislature to decide to throw that sales tax proposal down the drain, and it hasn't been revisited since then.
Yep,
so the number three option would be some use of fear, and there's a variety of ways that the fear can be instilled, but it's going to have to be instilled on a personal level. Those state legislators down in Nashville in the state house, they feared for their personal safety.
Yeah. And there was a whole book written about that called Tax Revolt by Phil Valentine. I have that book in my library.
He was the radio show host. Phil Valentine was, I think.
He is. And he wrote a book called Tax Revolt about that very situation you mentioned. And the problem is nobody is standing up and trying to put fear into them. I mean, it kind of draws comparison to me back to our local issues here with the school board. We had such an opportunity with three openings on the school board, and at best we got one person elected who might be on our side.
Well, that Dale, you know, there's a glass is half full way of looking at that too. In years gone by, there were no reform candidates or even pseudo reform candidates. So, you know, this is the foot in the door. This is a step on the road. I'm glad that the guy got in. Now we've got to see if he means what he said, and if he doesn't, then maybe he needs to have a little fear instilled in him. Remember, Dale, part of the reason why these school board openings occurred, why three incumbents decided not to run, is because they know they made a mess.
Oh, they knew. They wanted to get out while they're getting was good,
And they did not want to be held accountable, and that's why they got out of Dodge.
I mean, so Mr. Martin has said on these airwaves here many a times, Mr. Ed Martin, who teases and flirts with running for office and has these conversations with me off air, Mr. Martin has said several times that many people are going to look at these races across the spectrum, across the country, and say, why the hell do I want to run for one of those seats? Look at what they've done to it already.
Well, people who are reformers, they just by nature of the effort, they've got thicker skin and they've got a bravery streak, a courage streak that is probably greater than the average Joe and Jane, okay?
Right.
So this whole fear thing, it would be really cool and it certainly would be newsworthy if a group of individuals, say, this coming legislative session down in Frankfort, if they went down there and created havoc while either the Senate or the House was in session and scared the living daylights out of those folks. But I don't see that happening. But you know what everyone can do who's listening to your show? They can band together with like-minded individuals in their own communities, and they can go to these meetings where these elected officials are, and they can get animated, and they can use tactics such as getting the elected official surrounded.
Yep.
Now, Dale, how intimidating would that be?
That would be scary as hell for some people. I mean,
be scary for you betcha.
We got people in the county Republican Party who piss their depends when we surround them. So I know the politicians that are elected would be that way as well.
And we're going to have to take this to these elected people on a person-to-person basis. We're going to have to make it personal because everything that they do when they work the way they work affects me and you and everyone else who's listening to your show, affects us on a personal level. It takes money out of our wallet. It infringes upon our personal liberty. It creates havoc in numerous ways. It tries to get us to conform like a herd of sheep. And Dale, I drew my line a little while ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping that lots and lots of other people find the courage to draw their lines as well. But since most of the people right now don't have that courage, we've got to provide the example. We've got to go out there and draw
these
lines.
With the school board situation, I just want to harken back on that for a moment. With the school board situation, I'm just shocked, as bad as the Jefferson County Public Schools are, as bad as the Jefferson County Teachers Association is, why are there not just legions of people protesting outside the Van Hoos Center every day? You would think there would be tons of people out there with placards and signs and bullhorns and marching around the Van Hoos Center, and I haven't seen it.
Well, there's a couple of good reasons for that. Number one, that the performance of the school board and the schools, a lot of people in this community in particular don't believe it's their job to make that particular effort succeed.
Yep.
They say, I pay taxes, I'm assessed school board fees, I'm giving them money, there's professionals in the job, my God, that's their job.
But the
I'm
professional politicians handle it, right?
Pay,
I'm paying for it,
To pay the tax bills that they impose on me. And so when it comes to the school board thing, one of the things that we should be doing in small groups is trying to rein in the ability of the school board to unilaterally and arbitrarily and without public voting raise the school taxes.
I think you're spot on about them thinking the professional politicians will take care of them. But my only problem with that theory is that is akin to some thug, albeit a very well-dressed, very well-spoken thug, coming to my front door and asking me to give him money, and he'll go get my groceries for the month. And I keep giving him money, but he never brings my groceries back. How long am I going to give him money?
Well, until either you run out of money until he beats you to a pulp to try to force you to liquidate your hard assets so that you can pay the money. But
no.
I think that's a good analogy, Dale, is that we've got several thugs. They're dressed in government uniforms from a wide variety of government bureaucracies.
Look at David Jones Jr. just got elected.
Well, he's elected for now. Let's see how that plays out.
I hope it's just for now, but we'll see.
So, anyway, we have to take it to these people on a small group basis, and as we have successes, there will be other people who will say, by God, if Dale and Paul can do it, I can do it too, and I'd like to join the effort. So we're going to have to be inspirational while we're being perspirational.
We've tried to tell people to do this at the local level because in some ways we've kind of written off the national level. And I know my friend Clint Hardy and I and other people have talked about this, how we got to focus on local up to state and forget about the national. And that's kind of what my friends up in the Free State Project of New Hampshire have done. They're trying to surround themselves with like-minded folks so they can have an influence there, because they've kind of written off Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals. But it's bizarre world. If you read these stories, Paul, I was reading the story earlier before Andy had called in. This story in Philadelphia, where it was like 99.9% voting for Obama, and that's not even voter fraud issue there. That's just plain voter stupidity issue. And the House Speaker there in Pennsylvania said it was staggering how 90% of the precincts in Philadelphia turned out 90% of the voters. And of those 99%, of those 90% were going for Obama. Well, granted, Pennsylvania, I never thought that Romney had a chance in Pennsylvania, but that's a lot of votes, and the math doesn't always add up. And I'm reading these stories about these people who went out, and I just feel like that we're living in an alternative universe, because I'm reading these stories, and they talk about if just the name of Romney was mentioned, people would jeer and toss profanities in their direction. Well, I would toss profanities towards Romney, too, but that's because I know there's alternatives. These people think it's Tweedledee or Tweedledum. And I'm reading this story of this. I'm going to try to pronounce this lady's name, Shakiana Williams. Guess the ethnicity on that one. Shakiana Williams, a 35-year-old single mother, imagine that, of two, said it's unfair for us to blame Obama for the country's problems. I'm reading this the way she spoke it. It's all be a mess from before he was elected. I like what he talk about. The middle class, the economy, and schools. What do you say to that, Paul?
Well, she likes what he talks about. That implies that that's the only area in which she gets her information about candidates is through the mass media.
Yeah.
And I think that bodes poorly for the country's future, because if we have people simply responding to the surface stuff and we don't have folks digging underneath the headline and finding out the things that they really need to know in order to make an informed and good decision, we are in trouble. Okay?
Another person's Philadelphia story, Jahira Martinez, probably thinks she's Jehovah, went to the polls because she believes Obama deserves a second term. I think he need more time to get the job done. I see Romney as more of a businessman than a politician. That'd be the reason to vote for the businessman.
I got my Realtor magazine today, and the very last story in the magazine covers a concept that we teach in candidate boot camp as being probably the most important attribute if you take into the political arena, okay? Mm-hmm. The name of this story is Being Liked, L-I-K-E-D, Matters.
Yeah.
And it talks about the likability factor. Well, in the world of politics, the likability factor is absolutely huge. It's huge. People didn't necessarily – Romney's supporters liked him only because he was an alternative to Obama – but they didn't particularly like him as a political leader because he was way too wishy-washy.
Yeah.
He flip-flopped. And one of the things that you have to be, if you're liked, you can be trusted. Well, people just kind of sort of liked Mitt because subconsciously they sort of didn't trust him. So those two go hand in
hand.
Right.
Now, well, you got socialists who pretend they're Democrats. You got Democrats who pretend they're Republicans. Hell, I give Bernie Sanders up their credit because he's actually listed as a member of the Socialist Party. At least he's honest about it.
Well, Obama's people liked him a whole lot more than Romney's people liked him, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And that showed in the turnout. The Republicans and the Romneyites simply didn't turn out in the numbers that everyone thought they would. And Obama, I actually think, was able to rally just enough of his core, enough of his base, to make the difference.
Well, my philosophical question, and you're a little bit of a philosophical guy, Paul, so I have to ask you this question. If 4 years ago all these guilt-ridden, white liberals voted for Obama.
That's right. Our friend Andy has made that perfectly clear.
And they all were afraid because they had that white guilt, something I'm very proud of never having. I've never had white guilt. I've never felt a damn bit guilty about anything that a black person goes through. I don't have any white guilt. I'm the blue-eyed, blonde-haired devil, as they would tell me when I was at the University of Louisville, so I don't have that problem. But if all these white liberals voted for Obama so they wouldn't be called racist, and if the majority of white people didn't vote for Obama and they were called racist, you know, what does that say about the 99% of the blacks in Philadelphia who didn't vote for Romney?
Oh, listen, it's
Doesn't that mean they're racist too?
That's one of the great issues that never sees the light of day in print, and you never hear it over the airwaves, and that is there is an equivalent to white racism, and that is a black racism. There's just no doubt about it. No doubt about it. People make choices on the basis of race every single day. Every single day.
And I think the Republicans would give voters, regardless of color, an alternative. If the Republicans were not trying to be Democrat light, L-I-T-E, or L-I-G-H-T, depending on your public schooling, what is the alternative? It's not to become more like the Democrats. Paul, if you look at the numbers, if you go back now, counting this year, the last six presidential elections, do you realize the Republican nominee for president has only won the popular vote once out of those six times?
No, I can't say that I was aware of that.
The popular vote. Think about it. You had Slick Willie in 92 and 96. We know, for what it's worth, Al Gore won the popular vote in 2000. Bush, of course, won the popular vote in 04 over John Kerry, who was in Vietnam, by the way. And then now in 08 and 012, Dear Leader Obama won the popular vote and the electoral vote. So you had one time in six tries did the Republicans get enough people to vote for them that made it more than the ones who voted for the Democrat.
And the moral of that story is what?
They need to change their damn ways and give people an alternative. If you have Coca-Cola and you've been drinking Coca-Cola for years and years and years and you've never seen anything else but Coca-Cola in your neighborhood and all of a sudden someone brings in Pepsi-Cola and they say, oh, what is this? And you tell them, well, it's just like Coca-Cola. Then why would they switch from what they already know?
Well, yeah, people, that goes just down to humans and the way they react with their life. You know, how many times do people voluntarily change a behavior? Well, they almost never change a behavior until the behavior becomes painful to them.
Well, we had a debate this year. We had a debate this year, if you want to call it that, where the questions were like welfare for Big Bird or binders of women, or this person sighed too many times, or this person rolled his eyes too many times, when we should have been debating not who's going to be the next chairman of the Federal Reserve, but getting rid of the Federal Reserve. We should have been debating fundamentals about monetary policy, about the philosophical underpinnings of our foreign policy, and about the relevancy of the Constitution.
Well, Dale, you're taking a very academic approach and a very pragmatic approach to the way this country is supposed to be run, but unfortunately, Who was the president that basically established the pop culture presidency? Who was that?
Oh, Slick Willie, the first black president?
Slick Willie, that's right. Bill Clinton is the guy that kind of set the stage for the pop culture presidency. And it's been that way to a large degree ever since then, all right? Obama certainly has benefited from that, okay? I've heard a lot of critics of Obama say that he's basically like similar to a rock star, and I think that's a good analogy.
And Bill Clinton,
but when you have that
star,
kind of a culture, but that, you know, what happens with the institutions that you mentioned and all the important issues, these people will not change their behavior until it becomes painful to them on some level.
Well, last night, Ed was on here, and I was on here, and Clint had called in, and people in the chat room, it was pretty busy chat rooms, hopping in, and they were talking about things like, oh, Republicans got to change their ways, they got to just give a group hug to these other groups, and that's BS. The Republican Party, why would the Republican Party all of a sudden try to bend over backwards and do what a Hispanic voting bloc wanted them to do, or do what a gay voting bloc wanted them to do, if, once again, you already have Coke Why are you going to go to Pepsi if it's just like Coke?
I think I like your analogy on the Pepsi and Coke deal, but pragmatically, I don't think the Republican Party nationally is going to make any significant changes to the way they've always done things. I just don't.
Our good friend Ed is in the chat room, and he posed a question, and I'll let you take a stab at it before I do. And he says, what happens if you fired the Federal Reserve today? What happens tomorrow financially?
Well, that's your domain. You're much better.
No, I don't have a
Federal
problem
Reserve.
With that because the problem is it didn't happen overnight, so we can't fix it tomorrow financially, but we need to get back to sound money. This thing goes back several presidencies. This thing goes back to when Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. So if we've been off the gold standard for 40 years, then it's not going to get fixed overnight. But we were talking about rock stars and black presidents, and we got our favorite black guy back on the line. Andy, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back. You know what? Who's the gentleman? Because I'm really intrigued with his reasoning.
Paul,
in his
Paul
flesh.
From Stop It's on the line with us.
Paul, I really got to meet you in the flesh one day. How you doing? Look here, let me say this to you. You know, and you said that you believe that Clinton was the beginning of the pop culture president. I believe that we're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to mildly disagree with you. If we're gonna say pop culture, we got to go back to the Kennedy. We got to go back to John Kennedy. This was the beginning, to me, at least. Look at the revisionist history that's been written around this man. Okay, the whole Camelot thing. See, this goes back to this. We humans seem to have this innate need to believe in something greater than themselves. And Obama. Presented that. He presented it's a song Chaka Khan did it. I'm Every Woman. Obama came across as I'm all of you. I'm gay. I'm feminine. I'm disenfranchised. I've been out. I mean, he literally he touched on those primal fears of all these little friends, like I was telling Dale, he literally ran. I mean, look at the people who voted for him. Look at the people, you know. I mean, he literally became the voice of all these dissimilar friends groups. I mean, when you look back at that, that's phenomenal. Once he called the two major groups to be pretty much maligned, he threw the board with 3% here, 5% here, 7% there.
Well, see, Andy, we've talked about the people who didn't go out and vote, and I kind of sarcastically said my people didn't go out and vote, and we talked about the people who did go out and vote. And the problem herein lies, we know that people are voting for all the wrong perverted reasons. I don't know if you heard me reading the story about up in Philadelphia there a minute ago to Paul. We know people are voting for all the wrong reasons, but there's only two ways that we are going to get those votes, and I say we, meaning somebody who's running, I guess, on the Republican side. God knows they don't claim me, but I'll claim that status for a moment. And the only way you're going to get their votes is either, number one, cater into them, kiss their ass, and that's any voters out there, or number two, get them to convince themselves that they're wrong and come away to your way of thinking.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Dan? The Republican Party is going to have to evolve, and they're going to have to go back to their philosophical roots. They stepped
there you
away
go.
From it. That's what
I agree.
Did.
I mean,
they
when you say evolve, it depends on how we define evolve, but I think when you say getting back to their philosophical roots, that's worthy of a studio audience there. Because that's what they got to get back to. I just don't like it when people think they should evolve and become the Democrats. You already have a Democrat Party. You don't need another. Hell, we did that in 1996. We used that collective we for the Republicans again with Bob Dole. Hey, you want Bill Clinton? This guy's cool too. Oh yeah, but he's 20 years older and he's going to be hawking Viagra commercials. He's Bob Dole. I mean, come on. That was not impressive to anybody. And then in 2000. George W., you know, he was kind of like a country star. He wasn't a rock star. He was kind of like a country star, albeit a created country star since he was from the state of Maine, and he got voice lessons to make himself sound like a Texan. But he was kind of like a country star. So I guess if Bill Clinton was a rock star, and I guess George W. was a country star, and Obama's a rap star. How about that?
Well, I mean, actually, actually, what you got with Obama is more of a not a rap star. He's more urban. He's more urban smooth. See, you got to understand something. Because you can't call him a rapper because he's not that. Only thing he's angry with is people who don't give enough. There's not a category for sensitive rappers. It's a general rule.
Always Republicans, and just to get it back on that topic of the policy and the politicians, we're just always Republican talking heads, and they talk nonstop since election night ad nauseum. And they don't know their asses from their elephant trunks. They're already talking about Marco Rubio, and they just need the right guy to run. And it's almost like when the socialists promote socialism, and the neocon mainstream talk radio hosts say, they're so arrogant, they're so cocky, socialism's never worked, but they think it's going to work with them. And I'm like, hello, look in the mirror, you're doing the same thing. It's hilarious. They're freaking clueless. And if they don't get back to the Constitution, there may never be a Republican president again. Because they don't have as big of a cookie jar as the Democrats, and they can't for the life of them explain why the cookie jar is even bad in the first place. Paul?
Dale, the Republicans nationally are not going to make any significant changes. I've been around a little while longer than you have,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen the Republicans. I wasn't paying as close attention back during the Barry Goldwater days
right.
as I am now. But I haven't seen much of an evolution, if you will, in the way Republicans do what Republicans do. I had a chance when I was age 18 to sign up and be a Republican. I chose not to. There wasn't anything there that made it attractive to me, being
right.
a young person. Okay, so what's attractive to today's young people for becoming a Republican?
I know, and I guess in a twisted way, you know, the Democratic Party's always been about all the abortions you can have, like an abortion buffet. I mean, hell, just think how many votes they have us outnumbered by if the left wing wasn't killing their babies and they were all adults by now.
Hey, I heard a great tagline, great phrase
uh-huh.
that pretty much sums up the Democrat Party. Okay,
this
was great. This another national radio show host used this phrase today.
Okay.
He's called the Democrat Party the Party of Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah. You're
Party
talking about the
Santa Claus.
Famous pill popper, Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, he's right. I mean, it is. You
that
know, I don't
is,
agree with Rush on much, but that's what I just said, my little statement that I borrowed from a friend of mine on social networks. He said the damn Republican Party, reading from my friend Nick Embry out here in the Louisville for Ron Paul group, he said the damn Republican Party cannot, for the life of them, explain why the cookie jar is even bad in the first place. They're just pissed off that their cookie jar is not as big as the Democrats' cookie jar.
That's a good way to put it. Good way to put it.
I mean, when Bill Kristol is on TV, and you know Bill Kristol is the son of Urban Kristol. This is Neocon Central, Neocon 101. He's already making his presidential pick about Marco Rubio. And you know what? I'm really, really sad to hear. This happens in local radio here, too. Mandy Cano gets so many people kissing her ass. She's so conservative, and I'm sorry she's not. I know people who knew her when she was on the radio in Florida, and she really came around to the mainstream cookie-cutter conservatism since she came to Clear Channel in Kentucky. And even she was talking about how great it would be for Marco Rubio in 2016. And I'm thinking, you just got one neocon getting his ass handed to him. You're already ready for another one? I mean,
but she's familiar with things Florida, so you can't hold that too much against her. That's what she knows, okay?
What is that?
That's what she knows.
What do you mean?
I mean, she knows Marco Rubio because she came from Florida. She had a lot of time down there.
I don't think they went to Sunday school together. I mean,
no,
I know Colonel Sanders
is
from Kentucky, but I don't think she knows him personally.
But you know, she's in the environment where Marco Rubio is a regular news item, so you kind of get used. It's a cultural thing.
I understand, but I think
Florida.
She's saying it in the same reason that Bill Kristol and them were saying it. They're desperate for their next neocon. Aren't they doing the same thing with neoconservatism as the socialists do with socialism? If we just get the right one, he can make it work.
You want debate on that? I don't think there's any debate.
I know, and again, if you look at Rubio, he wants to use our military to go in search of monsters to slay. I mean, Woodrow Wilson, you know, would give him the seal of approval.
Well, but that's our fault, though. Dale, when we give these clowns that kind of power, it means that the masses are making it or allowing it to happen. Okay, you and I and everyone who listens to the show considers themselves to be pretty good analysts of the political scene.
Oh yeah, our show is borderline genius. We're like Mensa candidates on this show, yeah.
And compared to the population at large, I think the term Mensa would apply to people who do the kind of stuff that we do and look at this stuff and give it a lot of thought and consideration before we decide on a course of action. But unfortunately, the masses aren't there, and the masses need to be led, and they prefer some type of Pied Piper.
Oh, and Obama, they must be rather led with a carrot than with a stick. But since you're talking about whether they prefer locally, and we're looking at these results, one thing I did want to get in these closing moments, I wanted to get your opinions, Paul, on some of these ass kickings that the Republicans took locally. And I talked about this for a brief passing moment with Ed last night, but I'll say it again for emphasis. If you look at the people who got elected, there were only a couple of Republicans who won seats Tuesday night in races that touched Jefferson County. And I don't mean incumbents. I said won elections. And those two people I can think of, tell me if I'm wrong, people who actually won a seat with the Republican Party for their name, were Marilyn Parker and Thomas Massie. And they didn't get a damn bit of help from the local parties. Coincidence?
And I'm going to give you one nearby, one that borders Jefferson County. Russell Weber. My guy,
yep.
Russell Weber down there, took out a puppet that wasn't serving the interest of Bullitt County residents. And
yep.
He did so with a different Republican Party organization.
You got it. That's right.
And the
Bullitt County Republican support of the Bullitt County Party, because they've
correct.
Never been one of these groups that thinks they're too big for their britches like Jefferson County.
Yeah, the Bullitt County Republican Party. Ray Pierce and I had a chance to speak at a couple of their meetings about sewer related issues.
Yeah.
And we alerted them. We alerted some relatively small numbers of people down there about a year ago about how Linda Belcher was definitely helping Jefferson County at the expense of Bullitt County, and that they needed to make sure that they held her accountable. Well, lo and behold, when we see that Russell Weber wins by 4 percentage points down there,
yep. Over an incumbent
Dale,
Democrat.
We can't take full credit for that, but I tell you what, we can take credit for putting the word out and putting out accurate information about Linda Belcher's traitorous behavior
yep.
toward the people of Bullitt County. So that is also what has to be done. We planted those seeds more than a year in advance, and most of the Republican candidates in Jefferson County only look at the January preceding the primary election as to when they need to start working. And,
yep.
and I think they're missing the boat, because the Democrats in Jefferson County are working the cycle 12
yeah.
months a year.
Oh, it's their high. It's
12
their, it's
months
their
a
religion.
Year. That's correct.
It's their religion. They're much more loyal to their religion than most of the religious right are loyal to their religions. And I said at the top of the show that I wanted to focus on some of the highlights, and you mentioned a very good highlight in the Russell Weber race over Linda Belcher, and I'm very proud of Thomas Massie. And there are other spots that I'm very excited about as we bump up against Overdrive here. Richard Heath in the 2nd District State House. He is a Republican who won 55% to 45% Tuesday. And that's a district most people don't get down to, but that's a pickup for the Republicans. Lynn Belcher and Kenny Imes in the 4th and 5th Districts. They won their races with 56% and 57%. Those are pickups for Republicans. You know, there are races that I gained some newfound hope from. Marilyn Parker winning and getting our friend Chuck Hathaway on the school board. Those things encouraged me. There wasn't a lot in Jefferson County to get excited about. And I'm sorry, in the closing moments of my show here, I will tell the truth about it. And that's because the people who didn't win big or didn't win at all were too damn attached at the hip to the county party. And, Paul, this is the stuff that I didn't have to be Nostradamus to tell them back in March and April. This is why you're going to get your asses handed to you in November, is what I said to the Jefferson County Party chairman. We're not going to name any names, but her initials are Shelley May. And I told her, I said, Chairwoman, you're going to get your asses handed to you in November because you're isolating and pushing away Liberty Republicans.
And is that going to make any difference in the way the Louisville and Jefferson County Republican Party do what they do, Dale?
You tell me.
I'm not. For the sake of disclosure here, I need to let your listeners know, I have never, ever, ever been a registered Republican. I used to be, a long time ago, a registered Democrat, but I got well, I woke up from the bad dream, and
clean
I've been
sober.
Clean and sober now for more than 18 years.
Good.
Okay, I'm a registered and independent.
Yep.
All right. But I just don't see, just as I told you, when I became eligible to register to vote, there was nothing there that drew me to the Republican way of doing things. And, in fact, I actually initially registered as an independent. The only reason I changed to Democrat was so that I could work at the polls because the law and the rules prevent most independents from being allowed to work at the polls.
Right.
And that's just not right. That's not right. But,
I agree.
You know, those are the rules. So anyway, I joined I signed up as a Democrat for a while, mainly to work at the polls, but I reverted back to being an independent some 18 years ago. And guys, I'll tell you what, I just don't see either party in Kentucky giving any sense of fair play to the entire process. I'll go back to what I said earlier. The behavior of humans do not change until it becomes too painful for them to continue to put up with it.
And I'd say sidebar to that, for what I had mentioned earlier, much like if you're having an argument or a debate with an idiot, and I mentioned the Jefferson County Republican Party, an idiot, so I repeat myself, but much like if you're having a debate with an idiot, sometimes you're not going to convince them that you're right until you're able to convince them to convince themselves that you're right.
And that's partly an education effort. And that's one of the things that the Republican Party here in Jefferson County in particular has failed miserably, much like the public school system. It's failing. It cannot. It doesn't know how because it's too wrapped up in its own ideological system, and they surround themselves with like-minded individuals. You mentioned the term isolationism.
Yep.
Hey, Dale, you've hit the nail on the head with that.
Well, Paul, that's why they don't reach out. Yeah, you're exactly right, Paul. We are now into overdrive, so I'll wrap it up here. But Paul is exactly right, folks. He's telling you that the Jefferson County Republican Party, it's not going to change their ways. And you would have thought they would because the Tea Party movement was growing. But one thing I can tell you is the Tea Party movement is going to still be alive. The real Tea Party and the watered-down, pissed-in Tea Party are both going to still be alive because dear leader Obama was reelected. I told you on the airwaves last week that if Romney was elected, the Tea Party would have totally died. So we're looking for those silver linings in the clouds again. We thank you, Paul, and that's what people need to look at is standing up and looking what's going on. These Republican Party establishment types, you would think, when they had less people show up, back in the spring, they had their county convention, which was preached of and preached of and preached of all around the city once they saw they couldn't keep it hidden. Then they all of a sudden supposedly wanted to tell everybody about it on their website. And within a few miles in a few days, there was a Tea Party event in the same area. And the Tea Party event drew about three or four times the crowd of their once every 4 year convention. So Paul is correct. They're not going to change on their own, and I'm convinced they're only going to change when they tell themselves, damn, we need to change. But one of the main reasons that Mitt Romney lost the election is because the GOP establishment spent the entire damn year 2011 and much of the year 2012 attacking Ron Paul and libertarianism. Mitt Romney's Clear Channel radio talk show host, You Connect the Dots, Clear Channel owns the talk shows. Bain Capital ran Clear Channel. Mitt Romney ran Bain Capital. Mitt Romney's Clear Channel talk show host spent the whole year attacking Ron Paul. I couldn't even get Mandy Cano on WHAS in the 50,000-watt big blue blowjob torch known as WHAS radio. I couldn't even get her to talk about the convention fiascos on her airwaves. Hell, 4 years ago, we had the late, great Francine, and she was willing to take us on the radio and talk about the corruption, 8 years ago, I should say. But they spent the whole year in the Republican Party attacking Ron Paul, saying he was to the left of Obama. And then they changed their damn rules so Ron Paul couldn't speak at the convention, and they shut all of us out at the convention. And I warned them, and I told them, and I begged them, don't do this. You need our support. You need us in the party a lot more than we need your sorry asses in the party. So the Republicans want to win future elections. They're going to have to change their party platform to suit liberty, include things like ending the Federal Reserve, supporting Austrian economics instead of Keynesian economics. Many of them will have to look that up to even know what the hell that means. Supporting non-interventionism, sort of like a Barry Goldwater or a Taft or a Dwight D. Eisenhower would have done. The Republican Party was mostly non-interventionist before George W. Bush and his daddy George Herbert Walker New World Order Bush. Hell, George W. Bush even ran on a liberty-oriented platform. They need to get behind candidates like Senator Tom Davis and Representative Justin Amash and Rand Paul and get more behind people like Thomas Massey. But my question is, will the Republicans do this? They can't count on all the libertarians just voting Republican now. They didn't do it this year. They stayed at home. You need to follow Austrian economics. You need to look at the vote breakdown of the popular votes. It's clear that if you want to gain ground, you will give up on all the bullshit and all the bubblegum pop culture crap and come back to the Constitution. If you don't do it, your party will die and people will have to go find another new second party / third party to help them fight and say death to the New World Order. Have a good night, everybody.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns when the man comes around.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!